welcome to the National Federation of the Blind of Indiana's State Convention.
It's great to be here.
Now, you've been here today? Is your first day?
All day, yes.
Okay, and tell me a little bit about yourself.
Well, I have two grown children. One is living in Denver and Tampa. Work has transferred her to two different places. And my son is closer to home in Oregon, which is where I live right now. I came into the National Federation of the Blind in 1988 as a state scholarship winner in the state of Illinois, where I was attending the University of Illinois, which is where I received my bachelor's degree in teaching through the use of storytelling. And I currently am the executive director of two Montessori schools in Eugene, Springfield area in Oregon.
What's the age range of the children that you're teaching?
Currently, we just have preschool kindergarten, but for a long time, my son was in our elementary program. We actually purchased an acre of land and bought or built a school for 125 students, and we went all the way through the equivalent of eighth or sixth grade for many years.
Now, tell us a little bit about your blindness. What's your sight acuity right now?
I have no idea, because I don't go see eye doctors anymore for them to just reinforce that I'm blind, and it's not going to change. I have a juvenile onset form of macular degeneration, so I have no central vision, so I cannot read print at all. I have some peripheral vision, but my unless the lighting is really good, it's pretty worthless. It's just enough to get me in trouble, is what I always tell people. Better off not to rely on it, which is what I've learned to do.
Okay, and what has been your biggest challenge, as you would say, being blind and caring for your family?
Ooh, I would have to say that it is other people's low expectations of my capacity, without a doubt. And, you know, when I first came to the National Federation of the Blind, I was in total denial about blindness. I would go to the convention, I would take my money, but I was not going to hang out with those blind people because I knew what they were. They were pitiful and they were helpless. And when I went to the convention, I was so overwhelmed with the professionalism and the quality of the people that I met at that convention that I just... I know President Brown just talked about life-changing. It was certainly life-changing for me. And I remember when I received my scholarship and I got to say a few words in front of the convention, first thing that came out of my mouth, as well as tears coming from my eyes, was now I can go home and tell my mom and dad I'm going to be okay. Wow. Because now I believe that.
And what would you consider to be your greatest highlight in walking in blindness?
Oh, greatest highlight. That is so hard. I know what it is. I went to the Colorado Center for the Blind when I was 28 years old because I never learned Braille as a child, even though I have not been able to read print since I was in about the fourth grade. I was never taught Braille because I looked like I could see. So I went to the Colorado Center for the express purpose of learning Braille. And, of course, they made me do everything else, too. And I remember my very first independent travel route where I come into my travel instructor's office, and typically we go out, and he would, you know, take me to different intersections. But this day, he said, okay, Carla, so I'm going to give you an address, and I want you to tell me what you know about the address. And, of course, I couldn't tell you what it was. And, in fact, he said, I have no idea if this is the correct address. He wanted me to identify which side of the street it was on, right, the even or odd numbers, and whereabout I thought I could find it on the street based on the address. And so I demonstrated that I had that capacity, and he said, okay, here's $2. There is a hardware store at the corner of the two streets that he named. And he said, I want you, which was, I don't know, maybe 6 or 8 blocks away from the training center. He said, I want you to go in and I want you to buy a little hook and eye latch. That's all I need. I need one for my kitchen cabinet. I want you to go buy it and bring it back to me, right? So I remember walking under blindfolds And it was winter, so there was snow on the ground, which is always an interesting challenge, particularly since I don't live where it snows. And I remember getting to the corner where I thought the store should be, finding the entrance, walking in the door. Obviously, hardware store guy's used to this, right? I'm sure Eric used to do this all the time. He says, "Can I help you?" And I said, "Is this the hardware store?" And he said, "Yes, it is." That was my most memorable, defining moment yes. of my blindness was I not only did it with no vision at all, but I did it right the first time, and it changed my perspective about what I thought my potential could be in that very moment.
You're president of the Oregon.
Yes.
Let's tell us a little about being president. What does it require of you to be president in the state of Oregon?
I became president in 1992, and it was mostly because I believed that the standing president, who had been there for 14 years and had recently taken on a full-time job, just really didn't have the time to be the kind of leader I thought the organization deserved. So I ran against him. It was a contested election. It won, and I don't know that anybody pushed harder than I did of myself. Because what I always told my members was, okay, here's the deal. I believe that what we do in this organization is one of the most important things you can do in your life. But I understand that people have lives. So all I ask is if you can't do something, don't volunteer to do it and then leave it hanging for somebody else to pick up the pieces. Be honest enough, but make this a high enough priority that the organization gets the kind of attention and the people in the organization get what they need. And I think it made a huge difference in the level of participation of our members that I pushed myself hard, I pushed them hard, but I think that everybody worked really well together and there was just that, you know, that symbiotic relationship of, I know you can't always be giving, but somebody else will pick up the slack when you can't.
Teamwork.
Yes, makes the dream work.
Makes the dream work.
Exactly.
And I'm going to shoot several questions at you real quick. And it's dealing with the federations and some of our legislative issues that I want to just get your purview on. First of all, is the parental rights bill.
Oh, yes. The parental rights bill, because I personally have dealt with a number of families who have been discriminated against with regard to parenting their children simply because they are blind. The most recent incident was actually in President Riccobono's presidential report at the National Convention about a blind couple who had planned a pregnancy, delivery, had their first baby, and were not allowed to take their baby home unless they had 24/7 sighted supervision. To the extent that mom had to wake up the mother-in-law in the middle of the night to even nurse her baby. So, of course, she stopped nursing. This all happened at Christmas time, the 21st of December they gave birth. They would not let the family leave the hospital for 6 days, which is unheard of anymore, no complications, but it was because they were afraid to let them go with their baby. And I got word of this on the 1st of January. Yeah, you try to get a hold of a state government worker the day after New Year's. I spent all day on the phone, and I was so relieved. Finally got a supervisor who had nothing whatsoever to do with this case, and within 45 minutes, they relieved the restrictions, and they were able to be alone with their baby. This legislation is critical. Our people in Oregon, the Department of Justice says that the laws already protect disabled people from discrimination, but it's not happening. And in this particular arena, because the law protects mandated reporters, if they honestly believe that what they're doing is in the best interest of the children, they can't be prosecuted. You cannot go after the state for behaving the way that they do. So here this poor family, mom stopped breastfeeding, she missed the opportunity for bonding with her baby in the early days, and that is something you can never give back.
That's right, that's right. Okay, now how do you feel about the Assisted Technology Affordability Act?
I think it is fabulous. It is a reality that blind people have to spend more money on the type of technology that allows them to access computers, and it allows them to gain employment. Even looking for a job anymore, you have to do online. I think it is a step in the right direction, and I have been pleasantly surprised with the reception we've gotten from Congress on this.
Well, we recently got our Congressman Andre Carson.
Oh, nice.
To sign onto that bill, and it took a lot of work.
Yes.
But we did it, you know, so we were glad to get him on board. Now, my other question to you is one of the programs that we have with the National Federation of Blind. What do you think about NFB Newsline?
NFB Newsline is, you know, I've never been able to read a newspaper ever in my life. And it is so nice to be able to read from my local newspaper in the morning over coffee like everybody else does. I love that we can post information that is relevant to blind people in the state of Oregon, that we can access so many different newspapers and magazines, which really allows blind people to be more included in just conversations with their sighted peers that otherwise we may not have the opportunity to do.
Well, we want to thank you for your time. I know you got to get along as well. So many things to do. And you probably want to get a little rest.
Maybe.
Tomorrow's a very busy day.
Tomorrow's here. A long day.
So we just want to thank you once again for taking the time to go on the stream. And you'll be able to hear it when you get back home as well.
Yeah, I don't think
and
I'm
we know that. So we know that we really do appreciate it. And we've learned from you from this conversation, and those that are listening have learned that you have not let blindness define who you are.
Well, thank you very much, Lee. I appreciate it. Thank you.